Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Hei Bishvat, Parshas Bo, Tashanayim Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 14 January 2016, webcasting from the land of Israel, home of the children of Israel in their timeless battle to stay alive and remain Jewish. So the top story, I think, domestically in Israel this week was the revelation in Yediot yesterday of another video showing another Israeli, like Ezra Nawi, you know, who relishes sending Arabs to be tortured and killed by the PLO. Another Israeli who has crossed the line and joined the enemy. And this guy Nawi, it turns out, has a criminal record, some kind of degenerate criminal. And now it's Alon Liel, who, by contrast, was a successful career diplomat for Israel. He was the ambassador to South Africa and the ambassador to Turkey and director general of the foreign ministry. His wife is also a major peace activist in the so-called peace camp that identifies with the Arab enemy. In this video, Liel is shown talking to a Breaking the Silence group, advising them that the battle for driving the Jews out of Judea and Samaria is lost inside the country. No support for that, but not outside of it. In fact, that is where the battle should be fought, he said, inside the UN, where the peace camp can help the UN treat Israel as if it were apartheid South Africa. He was there in South Africa when the world put sanctions on the white regime. He mentions how South Africa's sports teams were denied competition all around the world, how the passport was no longer recognized, and how the loss of sports especially affected these South Africans. I heard that myself independently from a friend, an Israeli now, but an ex-South African, a Jew, who said something quite similar. He not being able to play internationally broke the spirit of these South African whites. Liel was suggesting getting FIFA, the International Sport Soccer Association, to deny Israel games abroad. He was calling for a boycott of Israeli sports. Alon Liel, you see, is absolutely convinced that the only way Israel can survive is by evacuating Judea and Samaria, by returning to the 1949 ceasefire lines. He alludes to, in this video clip, to the guys he has worked with, without naming them, but the implication is evidently to Yuval Diskin and Yaakov Peri, both of them former heads of the GSS and known doves. He conveyed the impression, and it's no secret, that Israel has to agree to the 67 lines in order to survive. Of course, Liel professed his love for Israel, and because he fears for its survival, he just knows Israel has to retreat. And if need be, peace activists like them should go to the UN Security Council and see if they can get sanctions like those that destroyed apartheid South Africa. See, get them slapped on Israel too is the only way to rescue Israel. He even relates his efforts in this regard, his own, the advice he gave to Mahmoud Abbas in 2014. He told him to call three Security Council member countries and cry if he had to get them to impose sanctions on Israel and recognize a Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria that would make of the Israeli presence a criminal occupation of another state. And then the country would be expelled from the UN like South Africa. This is what Alon Liel wants. Quite a scenario in the mind of this former diplomat who now looks upon Israel as many foreign ministers do. He was Director General of the Foreign Ministry here. The bad guy in the international consensus is Israel, oppressing the poor, poor Palestinians, and he feels the same way. Also apparent in his talk was the absence of even one word concerning the more than 500,000 Jews who today live over the 1949 ceasefire lines. In his head, there's an almost a Muslim-like, childlike wish for the impossible. A running of the clock of history backwards to a time when there was no Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria, and then there would be peace. And I emphasize the use of the word wish here, which is most important, because it refers to something impossible. For example, I wish I were in California right now, which is impossible. There is no rocket that can be built next to me now and rocket me to California, so I'm there now. That would take a long time. It is impossible for me to shoot over to California now. I wish for the impossible. my wish to be there is unreal, and it's healthy to want something in the future that is attainable, but to want the impossible is to wish for the impossible and engage in wishful thinking. And that's a lonely Alan leftist like him. He wishes for a return to an earlier time as the road to peace. And never mind that in 1949 there was no peace either. But worst of all, most shocking in the minds of leftist Jews like him, is this absence of even one word about the hundreds of thousands of fellow Jews who would be affected by the transfer of rule in Judea and Samaria from Israel to the Arabs. This appears nowhere in his dream of peace. What would happen in this scenario? Would we Jews remain in place and become citizens of the new Philistia and learn how to sing the Palestinian anthem and become a minority in the Palestinian state? The Arabs, though, say all of us must leave. It's ironic, to say the least, how anti-Jews like Jimmy Carter, Martin Indyk, John Kerry all threaten Israel being branded on their foreheads with the word apartheid if they don't give the Arabians what they want, oblivious to the truth that the Arabs want a Judenrein state. We are the ones guilty of apartheid because we don't help them create an apartheid state for ancient Palestinians. We get smeared for not helping them to create their Jew-free state. We are the racists. Their wish goes unrecognized for its Nazi-like dream of a Jew-free world. It really is quite something to watch this video clip of a lonely Yale advising the Breaking the Silence group to go the route of world anti-Jewry and its dreams, using the Security Council to recognize a Palestinian state that would automatically turn Israel into a criminal state and get kicked out of the UN, at least until it hands Judea and Samaria back to the Arabs. In this man, there is zero empathy for the hundreds of thousands of Jews who would either accept submission to the PLO or Hamas government or become refugees in their own country. Liel wants to see Israel once again 9 to 15 miles across. This is a man who radiates sometimes naivete and sometimes malice. He seems to be a mixture of a fool and a villain. In any case, what stands out is his identification with the enemy. Their agenda is his agenda. But even then, he stops short of the real consequences were his wish to be fulfilled. What would happen to his fellow Jews? Leftists like him, the Peace Now types, blithely answer, oh, they will move back inside the Green Line, and we will welcome them with open arms. Right. And where will they live? Where will their new homes and new neighborhoods and schools and new shopping centers and new medical clinics be built to house this half-million-plus refugee population? And who will pay for it all? And in many cases, the refugees will lose their livelihoods and have no income. None of these considerations are ever heard coming from the mouths of leftists like Alon Liel. They're fools for wishing for the impossible, the return to the 49 lines, and villains for their callous disregard of how their wish, if fulfilled, will destroy the lives of hundreds of thousands of fellow Jews. Really is, I think, at bottom, the perennial eternal rebellion by some Jews against being Jewish at all. They hate identifying with this people and wind up identifying with this people's worst enemies. The murderers among the Muslims here and their anti-Semitic financial backers in Europe. And Alon Liel and his fellow leftists seem to suffer from some kind of hysteria that they cope with by identifying with their worst enemies as they display utter indifference to the rights of a half million plus Jews to live where we do. As world anti-Jewry paints our faces with filth, with the filthy word apartheid, they cheer on the Palestinians in their quest for a Judenrein Philistia. So they wave high the banner of international ethics that wants to see Judea and Samaria, the last place on earth that Jews are forbidden to live.
אדון עולם אשר מלך בטרם קום יציר נברא לעת נשא בחפצו כל אזי מלך, אזי מלך שמו נקרא. אשר מלך בטרם כל יציר נברא לעת נעשה בחפצו כל אזי מלך שמו נקרא. ואחרי ככלות הכל לבדו ימלוך ימלוך נורא בלי ביום צרה. והוא ניסי, כן הוא ניסי, ומנוסי בנת כוסי ביום מקרא. אדון העולם אשר מלא בטרם כל יציר נברא לעת נעשה בחפצו כל אזי מלך ש שמו נקרא. לעת נעשה בחפצו כל אזי מלך שמו, שמו נקרא.
The lead story in the J-Post this morning was the miserable relationship between Israel and Sweden, thanks to that delusional, functionally medieval Viking of a woman, Foreign Mistress Margaret Wallström. She really is suffering from classic anti-Jewitis and inflammation of, if not the brain, then the mind, which has the victim hallucinating Jews doing evil things, in this case murdering ancient Palestinians for no reason. One imagines that she imagines we do this for revenge, as the Muslims here attempt to murder us at random. When they do, we strike back and murder them at random. Our soldiers in uniform have the freedom to do that in her infected mind. So the Swedish ambassador in Jerusalem was called into the foreign ministry for a dressing down, and the prime minister has declared Sweden will have no role in the peace process. High-ranking Swedish functionaries will not be received in the country, and so on and so forth. As Minister of Energy Yuval Stein had said of that foreign ministress in Sweden, quote, "A person who looks at the war on terror worldwide and comes to the conclusion that Israel is the only country whose tactics must be investigated is anti-Semitic," close quote. Bless you, Yuval. One of the few secular Israelis capable of saying that. Steinitz went on in a radio interview, quote, "The government of Sweden has become completely anti-Israel and unfortunately also a supporter of terrorism," close quote. This was a view, by the way, that was uniform across the political spectrum. A rare unity in Israel today on this. Avigdor Lieberman said, quote, "The only thing the foreign minister of Sweden hasn't done is physically join the Palestinian terrorists and stab Jews." Even Tzipi Livni got into the act. She said, quote, "We won't accept any comparison between our forces fighting against terror and terrorists. Israel has a moral army and a strong judicial system. We will accept no meddling in our internal affairs by Sweden or any other country," close quote. It's a pity, though, that Livni, who in this case recoils at comparing Jewish ethics in the use of violence with those of the Arabs, when it comes to the right to this country, she sees moral equivalence. "The right of the Palestinians to a state here is equal to the Jewish right in her mind, and never mind that, like Alon Liel, she does not think past that belief or wish." She wishes this were true. "It simply cannot be that these two nations have identical rights to the hills of Judea and Samaria. That is no more possible than trying to pour 2 gallons of gasoline into a 1 gallon jerry can. Can't be done." Livni, the leftist, also engages in wishful thinking, meaning wishing for the impossible. She wants a Jewish state here and a Palestinian state here. Forget about it. To be a Zionist, as she still claims to be, it means asserting the Jewish right to this land above all other claims. It means denying the right to this land to all other nations, starting with the Arabs, who today call themselves the Palestinians. Ours is the only true claim, and theirs is bogus. But leftist Jews wish to have their cake and eat it, like a middlebrow Alan Dershowitz, who claims to be both Palestinian, pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli. This is intellectual claptrap. One can no more be just a capitalist at the same time, a Jew and a Christian at the same time, a Jew and a Muslim at the same time. One is one or the other. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, I saw maybe a minute of the State of the Union message address of the President of the United States. It's really about all I could take before becoming queasy, watching this unctuous, shallow, dissembling narcissist, this Muslim, with his dramatic pauses that he inserts as if to allow his worshipful audience to digest the depth of his mind and wisdom. I did, though, speed read the transcript of it, looking for intelligence and finding none. What a performance. The White House transcript available online adds the moments of applause which he got after one vacuous bromide after another. This was no State of the Union address, but a political campaign speech advertising himself and his good intentions, and those of his audience applauding this pablum. What really made me angry and sad was less his performance, which I'm used to, than the reception he got when he entered the chamber. The number of hands flying out to shake his as the conquering hero. And among them, conspicuous was Jewish congressman from New York, Elliot Engel. To his credit, he broke ranks with the party and voted against the Iran abomination deal, but last night he looked like a groupie at a rock concert, ecstatic to be able to touch his idol. Does Elliot Engel not know this man is an anti-Semite, an enemy of the Jewish people, big time? He also received a warm welcome from Speaker Ryan. Why? Obama has proven himself again and again an enemy of the United States. And I think one secret of success is that he executes his villainy in plain sight. This charlatan, this con man, has been itching to hand over $150 billion to the internationally recognized champion of terrorist states. And even as he was receiving all these smiles and handshakes and applause, he was silent on Iran at the very moment humiliating U.S. Navy sailors, whose plight he said nothing of. This wicked man has also conducted this villainy without receiving in return freedom for the existing American hostages in Iran, apart from the sailors. And he still got the reception he got. Iran has been the number one enemy of the United States and Western civilization since 1979, and his policy has always been to make nice to Iran. The West may judge Iran harshly, but not Obama. He entered office in January of 2009. 5 months later, in June, Iran had an election. The ruling junta was beaten, then stole the election and killed people in order to remain in power. Dissidents looked to the U.S. for support, and Obama looked away. Last spring, in the Vienna negotiations with Iran, the U.S., led by Kerry and Wendy Sherman, were reported to be working as lawyers for the Iranians against the others. Leftists like Obama, like Alon Liel, identify with the enemy and take the enemy's side. They are traitors to their own people. Obama also, in his last State of the Union message this week, which was not about the State of the Union at all, but his own agenda, he said this, quote, "When politicians insult Muslims," and this is a presumptive dig at Donald Trump, "whether abroad or our fellow citizens, when a mosque is vandalized or a kid is called names, that doesn't make us safer. That's not telling it like it is. It's just wrong." Applause. This calls to mind his first inaugural speech when he declared America was a country of Christians and Muslims, not a Judeo-Christian country anymore, thereby elbowing the Jews out of the way and taking their place as the second most important religion in America. Here, his focus was on mosques being vandalized and Muslim children being called names. Please, the statistics on hate crimes of this nature are clear. The Jews suffer 3 to 4 times more hate crimes than Muslims. His speech was pablum, characteristic of Muslim culture, for also confusing the wish with the deed. He spoke of his last year in office, when he will, quote, "keep pushing for progress on work that I believe still needs to be done, fixing a broken immigration system," applause, "protecting our kids from gun violence," applause, "equal pay for equal work," applause, "paid leave," applause, "raising the minimum wage," applause.
all these things still matter to working families. They're still the right thing to do, and I won't let up until they get done. Applause. And I say, puke. This is a serious review of the state of the nation. This is getting applause for expressing wishes, never mind fulfilling them. Like the way Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize even before he took office. I couldn't believe it when he said he wants progress on fixing a broken immigration system. Applause. What? He had 7 years to do this. But all he did was make it worse. He had to build a fence along the Rio Grande, like so many states now in Europe and elsewhere, building fences. But he didn't do that. How does this man get applause for saying he wants to fix a broken system when he is one of the major vandals who has refused to fix it and even revels in that? He gets applause for saying we have to protect our kids from gun violence, but says nothing of the growing incidence of violence perpetrated by Muslim maniacs. Bad enough that this character acts and speaks the way he does, but it's far worse that he gets the reception he gets. Serious patriots should not have attended that speech at all, with the smiles and the pats on the back, as at the very moment Iranians are humiliating U.S. Navy personnel. And they did it to send a message to the region that Iran is now the country in charge, not the U.S. There's great meaning in those videos of those sailors on their knees with their hands behind their heads. Their capture and humiliation is a display for the Arabs in the Gulf and the Arabian Peninsula, communicating what they already know. The United States under Obama has basically switched sides. The U.S. today, under him, supports Iran against the Arabs. And the next day, today, Obama releases another 10 from Guantanamo who are likely to return to terror and killing Americans. Foreign policy analyst Katie McFarland, always level-headed, said on Fox TV yesterday that she sees an Obama bent not only on emptying Guantanamo of Muslim terrorists, but the entire base that has been an American facility since the Spanish-American War of 1898. I think she would agree that Obama sees the U.S. presence there as a relic of U.S. imperialism, and thus wants to hand it all back to the Cubans. Then, of course, in her view, the Cubans can rent it out, turn it over as a military base for the Chinese or even the Iranians. This man's a traitor, but in Congress, not one man or woman stands up and says, "J'accuse."
את עצמו בכל הכוח, להתאמץ להרים את עצמו למעלה. כן, נכון, זה קשה, אבל זה משתלם. לשמח את עצמו בהשם, ושלא עשה אני גוי. אוי 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 ובצדיקים. כן, יש לנו חיים טובים. אוי 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 אוי, תענוג להניח תפילין. אוי, בכל בוקר להתפלל לקדוש ברוך הוא. אוי 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 אוי, להיות עבד של המלך, המלך הגדול. כן, אוי 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 אוי. טה נה 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 שמח את עצמו בכל הכוח להתאמץ להרים את עצמו למעלה נכון זה קשה אבל זה משתלם לשמח את עצמו בהשם ושלא עשה ניגון אוי 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 אוי
Okay, that's it for this week, and God willing, we'll be back after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Eretz Yisrael.